You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. When it comes to putting food on our plates, whether in the U.S. or abroad, millions of people across the country have dedicated their lives to the agricultural industry. But the number of farms in the country is on the decline, and the workforce is aging. One third of the country's farmers are over the age of 65. So the USDA is working to train the next generation of farmers and ranchers, and at the same time, make that industry more diverse. Recently, the USDA announced that nearly $28 million will be going to programs to help people who are just starting their careers in agriculture. And some of that money is coming here to Sacramento to support a new project that is being launched by the California Bountiful Foundation to support beginning farmers who are veterans or come from socially disadvantaged backgrounds. Jim Houston is with the California Farm Bureau, which runs the California Bountiful Foundation, and Michael O'Gorman is the founder of the Farmer Veteran Coalition, which is a partner on the project. Good morning to you both.
Good morning, Vicky.
Good morning, Vicky.
Good morning. Okay, Jim, I want to start with you because California was the top producing agricultural state in the country last year. It's a big footprint in California's economy. What are the top goods in California?
We are the largest agricultural state in the country. The numbers have not come out for this year, but preliminary estimates put them around just north of $60 billion. We have over 400 commodities that we grow here, and our top ones, interestingly enough, are dairy by far, about $8 billion, wine grapes, and almonds, of course.
Mm. What does the California Farm Bureau do to help support the farm and ranching industry in the state?
Yeah, so interestingly enough, people might not know a lot about the California Farm Bureau, but every county in the state, with the exception of Alpine, which only has 70 residents, has a county farm bureau. We actually just last week introduced the San Francisco Farm Bureau to complete the state. And each one of those helps the farmers in their network or in their county with the problems of the day, the latest technology, the latest techniques, markets, et cetera, working with local governments. And the California State Farm Bureau helps those 54 county farm bureaus with their job. And then we also, of course, talk to state legislators, regulators, the governor, et cetera, to help them understand the problems of the farm.
Okay, so given that you just added San Francisco as a farm bureau for that region, I just can imagine just such a diverse patchwork of farm bureaus across the state, from the Central Valley to the North Coast, you know, down to Southern California, and of course, the Sacramento region.
Yeah, it is really a unique group and a wonderful opportunity. And it's one of the things that we're most excited about, connecting that diverse group of people with this program and helping our next generation of farmers and ranchers tap into that knowledge base and the opportunities there.
Where does the California Bountiful Foundation fit into this?
So the California Bountiful Foundation is the 501c3 offshoot of the California Farm Bureau. And it looks at a whole host of things, water supply, water use, climate change, and you know, how ag interacts with climate change. People might not know that plants actually suck carbon out of the air and create you know, food and fiber from that. And so we work to enhance that. And this was one of the programs that the California Bountiful Foundation does, which is to help the next generation. We call it sustainability squared. So where you're both sustainable in your operation. But, you know, I mean, you need to be able to sustain your business. You need to be able to make a profit, pay people, pay off your mortgage, and hopefully leave something for the next generation.
Yeah. Well, Michael, that brings me to you. You have a lot of farming experience throughout the state. I mean, how did you start farming?
I just started farming as a first generation farmer, which is, I think it gives me a little bit of understanding our need for more farmers and how farmers can get into this career. In 1990, when the demand for organic production jumped overnight, I was there and was hired to manage the first organic farm in Salinas. And then I spent the next 20 years building three of the country's largest organic vegetable companies as their production manager. And then I went on to start the Farmer Veteran Coalition.
Yeah, that was going to lead me to that. What led to you founding this coalition?
It was some personal and some understanding our need for more farmers. But the personal end was my oldest daughter of my four children was at ground zero crossing the street when the plane hit. First plane hit, she got away uninjured, but traumatized, and my son went and joined the military a week later. And so after 11 years of managing the last company that I was in charge of here in Baja California, I decided to do something totally different and start an effort to help military veterans become farmers.
Mm-hmm. How does farming help veterans, you know, once they have completed their service?
You know, the first thought, you know, they need something to do. And the first thought of a lot of people is farming. Oh, how bucolic, that must be so healing. And as if those of us who farm know that
it's stressful.
A lot of stress.
Yeah.
It's stressful and demanding. And what the veterans taught me was that was the difficulty of it was part of the challenge. And the real reward came that it gave them a sense of purpose, something as important as serving in the military, and the sense of farming and feeding people as a for our national security, for our economic security, for the growth and health of our rural communities where many of them come from. And so it's been a really, really tremendous fit.
Well, the foundation, the California Bountiful Foundation, received $500,000 from the USDA for this new program that we're going to be talking about. And that's really to educate farmers and ranchers that are starting off to support them and offer them resources. How did the idea for this project come about, Jim?
Yeah, that's actually kind of an interesting story. So we actually hosted, this is probably 2 years ago, a forum at the California Farm Bureau headquarters put together at the request of CDFA, because this was actually during the pandemic where we were coming out of the pandemic and the state wasn't allowing people like into their building. And so they wanted to use our building to host it. And so USDA and CDFA had it, and they came in on Zoom, and we had 35 farmers and ranchers in the building and then probably another 20 on Zoom. And they were all socially disadvantaged farmers and ranchers. And the CDFA and USDA and the government folks are up there, and God bless them all, but they're talking about, you need to get this certification or that to sell to Walmart or Costco. And I'm looking at this person, and they have like 35 acres, and they're not going to be selling to Costco and Walmart with 35 acres anytime soon. And so all this was well-intended, but I realized that there was this gap of the real sort of producer who's out there, who's on the field, who's in the county, who's day-to-day facing the challenges. And how, what do they know? What are their lessons? And how do we connect these new people? Because, you know, farming is a really interesting thing is, you know, I have kids. I have a 13 and 10-year-old, and if they want to become a doctor or a lawyer or whatever, a coder, as my son likes to talk about, then they know how to do that. They know how to go to school. If they want to become a farmer, what do I do,
right?
And so we need farmers from urban and suburban lands, people who have not been farmers traditionally, to come in, and we need to make it as easy as possible for them to see, here's the steps that you take, here's where you can get a loan, here's where you start, here's where to get a cheap truck, because you're going to have to haul stuff, and up from there. And so that's really what the inspiration was, is how do we take our 20,000 farms, who 80% of them are small farms, and connect them with this next generation.
Michael, I'm sure you can speak to that. You're a first generation farmer. I would imagine there was a pretty steep learning curve when you jumped into it.
Absolutely. A super, steep learning curve. And I was lucky to survive, some early on crashes and mistakes. But to speak to what Jim's saying and the Farm Bureau, I've been working with the Farmer Veteran Coalition. I started with just a handful of veterans, and it's grown into a national organization with 46,000 veterans who are either started to farm or interested in farming. And there's a lot of organizations out there that have funding to help train them, but there's nowhere where they can get the training that they can get from an existing farm that it's not just the knowledge of farming. There's a pace to it. There's just a million different things that they're going to learn from working alongside someone who has that experience and has an operational farm that has to pay its bills and survive. And so it's a great fit.
When it comes to the $500,000 that you're getting from the USDA, how many farmers and ranchers could this help, Jim?
So the goal is to help 200 farmers and ranchers, connect 200 young farmers and ranchers with 200 mentees.
Oh, wonderful. And is there a span? I know you're probably just scaling up, like how long this can last?
Yeah, so we're going to start in February accepting applications, and then the program lasts 3 years. So 1 year is ramp up time and then 2 years of operation. So we expect to have 2 years of mentors, so 200 a year, so 400 total.
When it comes to a beginning farmer or rancher, I would imagine it's not just like 1 or 2 years in, that it can take several years before you get some experience or even are considered a veteran farmer and rancher.
Yeah, no, for sure. And it's 0 to 10 is the operating window. And to your point, you know, when you plant almond trees or walnut trees or pistachio trees, you're not getting production for 5 to 7 years. And so, you know, organic production, you have to fallow your land for 3 years where you can't apply anything. And so the productivity is severely decreased. So there's a lot of that time. And then, you know, if you're a cherry farmer, right, you get one good year in five. So allowing that 10 years allows for folks to sort of, you know, have some of those initial experiences, but you're still, even at 7 years, kind of a beginning farmer.
So with this funding, will some of that funding go to the individual if you're wanting to help up to 200 farmers and ranchers? Or will the money go towards, I know, mentorship, but also programs as well?
Yeah. So, I mean, as a statewide organization with only 500,000, to be honest, that's not a whole lot. And so what it really does is it helps support the time for the counties. So if a county is going to have a meeting, it'll help pay for the room and for the materials there. It'll help pay for some of the consulting time for the mentors. But the mentees, really, the benefit they have is the knowledge. And then there are lots of programs at the state that we'll inform them about that will help them get some of that initial funding that might be required for capital purchases.
And I know this program is really targeting and focusing on people who are veterans, but also people who come from socially disadvantaged backgrounds. What does that exactly mean? Is there a concrete definition for that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, there is a concrete definition at USDA, which is a historically marginalized group. So, you know, we break it down, or USDA breaks it down, Native Americans, African Americans, Native Hawaiians, Asian, Hispanic, Latino, Spanish are the available. And Middle Eastern is in there as well. They're just not a census count for USDA.
Is there a difference between California's distinction and the federal distinction for socially disadvantaged?
Yeah, interestingly enough, women are not included in the USDA definition, but they are in the California definition. So because we're in California, we include women as part of that.
Hmm. Michael, what excites you about this funding?
I'm excited to help veterans find somebody to match up and to learn from, and the wealth of experience that those 30,000-40,000 Farm Bureau members have across the state is just, you know, it's just the greatest thing they could be tapping into. You know, they're starting out. There's a network. Farmer Veteran Coalition has just launched a new chapter in the state, and a lot of these men and women are just getting started. Some of them are some years into it, but could use the help. So just the matching of somebody with that could take them a little bit under their wing, and they could call if they're something's going awry on their farm or they need some direction, and is a fantastic thing. It's the best thing a young farmer can have is somebody to help them mentor.
How instrumental and valuable was that for you when you were getting your start?
It's extremely valuable. I learned from neighbors. I was really good at watching and not afraid to go ask. It was other farmers that taught me, even though I was early on organic, you know, they recognized that, you know, that wasn't first and foremost, I was a farmer and a fellow farmer, and they recognized what I was doing, and they recognized my work ethic, and I never found a farmer unwilling to help.
Jim, in addition to partnering with Michael and his coalition, what other organizations is the California Farm Bureau working on this project and collaborating with?
Yeah, certainly we have the Farmer Veteran Coalition because we aim to get 30% of the mentees to be veterans. And then we're working with the Black Agricultural Working Group headed by Michael Harris to reach out to Black farmers in the area. Interestingly enough, at the 2017 2019 count for USDA, there were only 599 black farmers in California. And so we'd really like the 2022 count to go up from there. And then we're working with the Young Farmers and Ranchers Committee to do outreach into the counties as well.
Given that California, I think, is the most diverse state in the country, if not, it's at the top. Do you have a sense of how diverse California's farming and ranching population is?
Yeah, we do. I mean, it's a little bit old. The data is from 2017. And so we hope that these numbers will be, you know, they'll be different. Some better, some worse. The number of farms will be worse because it'll be smaller. But this is based on 70,000 farms. So there's 11,000 Hispanic Latino-owned farms, which is about 16%. 60% of our farms actually have female operators, not exclusively, but they have a female as part of their management structure, like senior management structure. 4,000 farms are run by Asian Americans, 2,000 Native Americans, as I mentioned, 599 African Americans, and then 568 Native Hawaiians. And so it is a diverse, but certainly not reflective of the diversity of California.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're speaking with Jim Houston from the California Farm Bureau and Michael O'Gorman for the Farmer Veteran Coalition about a new project to grow the number of socially disadvantaged and veteran farmers in California. You know, Jim, I think you mentioned there's like 10,000 farms across the state. Is that correct?
70,000.
70,000 farms across the state. I mean, when I led with this conversation, I mean, nationwide, I mean, the population is aging. I believe a third of farmers are over the age of 65. You know, how are we seeing that shake out here in California? Is that pretty much along the same lines?
Yeah. In fact, our membership, you know, we lose 5% of our membership every year due to, you know, people sadly passing away and consolidation. That's the other sort of, you know, thing that folks don't talk about is consolidation. As a small farm, you know, when a small farm goes out of business, it generally gets eaten by a larger farm. And so one of the things that's really important for us is to have that competition, to have that new innovative blood coming in. They're hunger, they've got ideas. They're also sometimes, you know, more attuned to the up their generation, right? And so having that ideas and having that competition is of critical importance for us as consumers to continue to benefit from the food. And, you know, so as California goes, so goes the nation and the world with its food supply.
Is the reason why there's been more consolidation is because, I mean, I would think just even with a small business, just being a small farm or a small ranch, getting your start, I mean, it's a tough business. And as you said, it could take up to a decade before you kind of get into a healthy financial momentum.
Yeah, it is. And it's kind of a weird thing. I mean, I've been up here in Sacramento for almost 25 years doing ag policy. And it's almost sort of like every step that we take, you know, it's not intentional, but it sort of disadvantages the small farm, right? If we've got more regulations, it's harder to, and it's not to say that we don't need regulations, but it's just, you know, compliance with those, input costs, the barriers to entry continue to raise. And so as a small farmer, you're sort of already a disadvantage. And a lot of times it's just easier if you've got a good idea, just like in the tech world, you know, if you've got a good idea, somebody bigger is going to come and they're going to buy your idea. And so, but like I said, it's continuing to have those opportunities for folks to create that disruptive movement in agriculture.
And I can imagine it just could be hard to navigate and having the knowledge of how to navigate, which is why, you know, a project like this with mentorship could really help guide people to help kind of smooth out those hurdles.
Yeah, no, very much so. And understanding where to get the right financing, where the proper markets are, what to watch out for, because there are, it's business. And so there are people who, you know, are going to try and, you know, put you out of business. And so I think having that sort of mindset, but to you know, Michael's point, and farming is such a wonderful occupation. You know, to be out there, to be working with your hands, to be working with nature, to produce something that, you know, like I said, I have kids. I mean, my son and daughter are literally constructed from the food and the milk that is grown by these farmers, and they're consumed, their bones, their mud. I mean, that's just a really remarkable opportunity, and you're sucking down carbon while you're doing it.
You know, Michael, you mentioned that, you know, the coalition that you founded for veteran farmers, I mean, it's grown nationwide. You serve tens of thousands of farmers who are veterans. You know, when it comes to, you know, the opportunities you'd like to see here when it comes to California's agriculture, where do you see the opportunities for today's military veterans?
Well, I see them in two places. And one is in farm business, you know, in business ownership and the farming business. And there's a lot of business opportunity too, that a lot of ways to get into agriculture that don't involve a large amount of land, or could, you know, the companies I managed were huge. They was all rented land. So there's opportunities and ways to get into a farm business. The other is into farm employment. And sometimes that employment and that training you get from employment can lead to your own business. So both of them are sorely needed. And, you know, we need to replace our farmers and our business owners, but we also need to bring in a generation of skilled employees into the farms, you know, the people that run the irrigation and drive the equipment and operate the equipment and manage crews and run the offices. So there's we see them both places.
You mentioned that, you know, it gives veterans a sense of mission and purpose. You know, I would imagine that there's even, you know, just working with your hands and being outside, there's a mental health component as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, when we really saw that was during COVID, you know, when COVID hit that first week, my phone just blew up by calls from veterans all across the world and across the country. You know, they were losing markets. You know, they had they sold at farmers markets and they were shut down. They sold hotels and the hotels weren't buying. They had to farm to school and the schools weren't buying. They were going crazy. And then, you know, all of a sudden, you know, people found their markets and the idea that they could be there, you know, like Jim mentioned with his kids, you know, they could be outside with their kids and seeing crops grow and seeing animals be born and you know, the unity of family that it gave them. And it was just really rewarding to see that, you know, them go through that change and seeing that what a wonderful opportunity and what a wonderful lifestyle. So the lifestyle is very appealing. They're willing to work hard and like to do something where you can really tangibly see the result of your own efforts. So it's rewarding, but it's difficult. And that's where we come in. If they're willing to put in the work, we want to help.
Jim, I mean, someone's listening to this and they'd like to get in touch and they're interested in becoming part of this. How do they connect with you?
Wait until February, and then you can go to either CFBF.com, so, you know, CFBF, which is California Farm Bureau Foundation, California Farm Bureau Federation, or you can go to California CA Bountiful Foundation.com, which is the California Bountiful Foundation, to get more information.
Has something like this been done before? I mean, training the next generation of farmers with not only state but also federal funding attached to this?
I don't know if that has that total package has been done. There's certainly been, programs like this. The mentor program has been something that I think science, you know, sort of academic studies have pointed to as a successful model. But certainly this is the first in the nation that marries, you know, the organization that is so large, such as Farm Bureau, you know, with so to create that statewide opportunity and then to have the state and federal government contributing as well. You know, I think with that scale and that opportunity, it is really unique.
Jim and Michael, thank you so much for the time.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Vicky. Thank you.
Jim Houston is the administrator of the California Farm Bureau, and Michael O'Gorman is the founder of the Farmer Veteran Coalition. And they've been talking about a new program that is being launched by the California Bountiful Foundation to train the next generation of socially disadvantaged and veteran farmers and ranchers. Still ahead, it is jazz, swing, burlesque with a touch of the Harlem Renaissance all rolled into one, and it has become a holiday tradition in Sacramento. Peter Petty joins us with Hepcat's Holiday Swingin' Yuletide Review. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.